Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Financial Reality on the Age Unsquared podcast, episode number 27 at your service and broadcasting out to you from deep within the prairie land of Canada, nestled not too far east of the majestic Rocky Mountains. I am your humble host, Adrian Age Harasimiu, and I'm excited to be back for yet another episode journeying through majestic finances, investments, and economics. I've got another episode queued up and loaded with inspiration, motivation, and education as we march this adventure forward together to the pinnacle of financial independence. Now, I'm reaching over my soundboard here to turn that small talk knob down to zero so that we can dial in 20 minutes into the timer and get this journey rocking. To get things rolling, I'm going to take on a political hot potato. But not for reasons you might be thinking. I'm not here to defend or attack one wing of politics over another. I prefer talking on the financial, investment, and economic matters to shine light on my views. So, while my discussion about President Trump here may sound like I'm defending him, it's actually a far cry from my true motives. Recently, some of his tax returns were released. And considering that he ran his election campaign on promises of making lucrative deals to make America great again with prosperous deals, the reality of his past seems to be anything but lucrative, at least to the naked eye. Of course, news reports came flying out about a president who lost billions of dollars over the course of the late 80s and early 90s, with the mainstream media just reveling in so-called proof that Donald J. Trump is a fraud. And, of course, even Twitter lit up with a trending hashtag called Billion Dollar Loser to allow people to vent their venom against the president. I shared my brief take on this on Twitter, but figured, why not share this on my own Unsquared platform, too? So I actually have two angles on the situation. Yes, one is political, so I'll keep that one brief. The other one is nowhere near political and applies more to our journey here. On the political side, and by no means should you see or take this comment as supporting one party over another, but I'm left to wonder why people are so fast to criticize someone for losing $1 billion of his own money, assuming that's even true, yet no one bats so much as an eye when politicians lose billions of our money in ridiculous and wasteful government spending. So for anyone that's listening and laying into Trump for his personal financial recklessness, or was it really recklessness? Maybe there was actually motive behind it. I hope to hear from you soon about the disastrous spending habits of our political class. And with that, a hard stop on the political. On the other angle, I'm left to wonder why people waste so much of their own energy stressing about something of this caliber. Who cares if he lost over $1 billion of his own money over some number of years which happened many decades ago? How does that possibly affect you? Instead of losing sleep and productivity over Trump, not really making America great again, focus on making yourself great instead. I have this growing belief that if we all just focused more on ourselves and our own roof, society in general would thrive more. The parasites that thrive when we divert our attention to them will die off because there'll be a lack of attention, and thus the world will prosper. My wife and I have a Chinese proverb that reads, quote, bring peace to the world by bringing peace to your life first. Even the controversial Dr. Jordan Peterson has a similar piece of advice when he suggests cleaning up your bedroom first before trying to clean up the world. I've come to realize that my energy is best spent focused on myself, my family, and this, my small but budding community of people interested in finances, investments, and economics, whilst on a journey of making their own life great again. It's why I talk about reaching financial independence. We all have our own ambitions in life, so rather than dreaming about them, it's time we made them reality. But that can't be done when we're wasting time bemoaning other people's successes and failures. Yes, their stories are great to learn from and to hear, and yes, I know some people want to gossip about them, and that's your prerogative. But they're not stories we can control, so let's get over it. Oh, and by the way, the next time you're faced with a financial advisor asking about your dream retirement, realize that you don't have a dream retirement, but rather life ambitions to fulfill. and that financial advisor is standing in your way of fulfilling them, wasting time on dreams. We dream in our sleep. We execute ambitions in our waking life. And life is not all about retirement. It's about finding satisfaction always. Remember, you might not make it to retirement, so why bother spending so much time dreaming about it? Plan for it? Yes. But don't live in your retirement dreamland only to miss what's in front of you now. Piggybacking on the idea of financial advisors, especially ones at your local bank branch, mostly known as personal banking representatives or something to that effect, I have a story to share about a coffee I had this week with someone who has considered having a financial plan done through me. She was referred to me by another professional who felt it was time for her to get her finances straightened out. Early on in our conversation over coffee, she mentioned that she was first referred to her bank to see what they could do for her financial planning needs. And why was she then sent my name after meeting with her local banker? Because she was highly disappointed with the banker and how the meeting went, saying all the banker did was try to sell her a TFSA instead of listening and understanding that she wanted a financial plan done. There are two principal matters to highlight here. Firstly, most of your local bankers do not do full financial plans that evaluate every applicable nook and cranny of your financial situation. They simply have a simple planning software which has some of your numbers plugged into it, and presto, a financial plan of a few pages in length, mostly with charts and graphs, ready for your reading pleasure. At the end of said financial plan, you're encouraged to set up a TFSA or unsecured line of credit or some other bank product to push, to help you along your financial plan. That leads to the second point. Yes, financial plans at banks are free, in the sense that you don't walk in and pay directly for one, nor do you have to worry about an invoice being sent to you for payment of that financial plan. Instead, as I just alluded to, you pay for your simple financial plan by opening one or more of the suggested products at the end of the financial plan. Now, I know that sometimes the concept for people is difficult to grasp, so let's look at an example or two of how this works. Say you have an investment portfolio of $100,000. My guess is that your financial plan will recommend you purchase some GICs, that's guaranteed investment certificates, to ensure safety and certainty in your investment portfolio. As you may or may not be aware, the GIC rates you see posted at the bank are not the best rates the banks can give you. There's usually about a 0.5% cushion that the banks will gladly absorb into its own revenue stream, assuming you don't demand it to be added to your rate. On a GIC portfolio of $100,000, that's $500 per year that the bank has made from you with barely a blink of an eye. And since you're likely to keep rolling such a GIC portfolio for the foreseeable future, that's another $500 each year that you do so. Or if you have a banker with a bit more courage, you might get a recommendation to invest that $100,000 into a bank-operated mutual fund, which charges, say, 1.5% per year to run the investment for you. There you go. You just paid $1,500 to the bank for your financial plan for 1 year without even realizing it. But age, you say, I don't have $100,000 to invest, so this doesn't really apply to me. Okay, so let's take your $0 to invest portfolio as an example. For you, I can forecast that the recommended strategy will be to open an unsecured line of credit for emergency purposes. You're sold on the fact that there is absolutely no interest charged if you don't use it, so what harm is there to you, the banker will tell you. Whether the banker realizes it or not, their sales recommendation is based on human psychology and the odds that given your poor financial state, whether you're planning on using it or not, you very likely are going to use that line of credit at some point in the very near future. So you go ahead and set up a $10,000 line of credit with absolutely zero intention of using it. But before you know it, somehow, you've amassed $10,000 in debt, which, by the way, the bank is probably charging you around 10% for. And just like that, they've made around $1,000 off of you just in the first year. So, do you still believe bankers' financial plans are free? Why not opt for an option that's more transparent, where you know what the cost is up front and what to expect from the financial plan. Suddenly, that independent financial planner's price to provide you with a professional and objective financial plan doesn't seem so bad, does it? Of course, a professional independent financial plan may suggest you set up investment or debt or insurance products, which also carry cost to them. Yes, there's no denying that. But at the very least, you know that you're getting that recommendation based on your financial needs, not their own. As a sidebar, also remember that the frontline bankers of your local bank are not professional financial planners in most cases, I'd say about 95% of the time. If anything, they are being trained to be professional salespeople. So, if you wouldn't trust the preparation of your tax return to some salesperson at your door, why on earth is your financial plan any different? Do you like knowing that the accountant preparing your taxes has the Chartered Professional Accountant designation? Again, I beg the question, why is it any different for your financial planner? And don't forget the wise words of one Red Adair, who reminds us that, quote, if you think it's expensive to hire a professional to do the job, wait until you hire an amateur. But anyways, now let's switch gears to a riveting yet important matter. Every week, usually on Wednesday, I like to put out a poll on Twitter called Question for the Ages, where I pose a question on any number of topics. As a matter of fact, I've even settled the biggest debate in Hollywood. Of course, I just want to do my part in reading the world's pulse and solving the questions that hang over all of us. And if you're curious about that Hollywood debate that I settled, two words for you. Twitter, at the original age. In all seriousness, though, I like to pose these questions as they give me a glimpse into how some people see certain topics. A couple of weeks back, I posted a poll that was especially inspiring for me. Now, when you hear what the question was, you're probably going to think that I'm weird, but hey, it's who I am. What's this question I asked? Well, I took note that the Federal Reserve in the US and inflation continue to hover at the fore of business and financial news. The Fed, or the central bank in the US, expressly states, as do many of its central bank compatriots, that their inflation target is around 2%. So I asked Twitter, do you think that target inflation should be 1, positive, 2, 0, 3, negative, or 4, you don't get the difference? And the results? While 29% of voters chose positive inflation, 29% picked 0 inflation, 0 thought that inflation should be negative, and 42% came in and said they didn't get the difference. When I first put out the poll, my gut feeling was that option 4, don't get the difference, was going to win out. As the results point out, I wasn't disappointed, at least not by the fact that my gut was right. That's where my lack of disappointment ended, because the results further underscore the lack of financial understanding in the depths of the general public. Main Street continues to scurry about its day, not appreciating the financial consequences of policies in place. Many of these policies are sold as ones to even protect and save Main Street. Now, as I've mentioned before on this podcast and other content that I post, I'm trying to do my small part in removing the wool from our eyes. That's part of the journey we're on. So in this segment, I'm laying the foundations around a better understanding about inflation. My own position on the topic of inflation will become clearer as we proceed through the journey. But to lay a proper foundation, I prefer keeping this discussion as neutral as possible to allow you to develop your own understanding and position on the matter. Of course, and by all means, you're always welcome and able to run an internet search, or, as your not-so-distant predecessors had done, go to the library to research it. Alas, any research you do will likely land you more confused than before, and you'll quickly give up on understanding it and return to your happy ignorant ways. To kick off this foundation laying exercise, I'll prove to you that I'd be willing to bet your research would quickly run its course when you found a dry definition such as this one posted on the site Investopedia, which summarizes inflation as, and I'm quoting here, a quantitative measure of the rate at which the average price level of a basket of selected goods and services in an economy increases over a period of time. Oh, sorry, I fell asleep there after reading that. Unfortunately, This was the best definition I could find, which did not make even me want to keep reading more about it. For your benefit, though, I pushed and struggled through so you wouldn't have to. But this is the problem with so much financial, investment, and economic information. It's so boring that it's no wonder no one wants to learn it. I think the easiest way to learn, though, is by example, which I did before in the other segment for you, even with me making up numbers for the purpose of illustration. So say a liter of milk cost you $2 last year. You went to the store today and noticed that you're now paying $3 for that same liter of milk. Your natural reaction is to blame the store owner, whom you think is just trying to gouge you for an extra $1 of profit. How dare the store owner take advantage of you like this? But before you summon the spirit of Marx to unleash your fury, take a step back and understand that this $1 increase is due to market forces, some of which may be invisible, but others are visible to the curious eye. Now, let's consider another example. Say you're renting your home. You decide you want to become an owner and buy a house to live in. You go house shopping and find the house of your dreams, priced at $250,000. You do some math and realize you can't afford that house just yet. But you're determined and set on your way to save and make your finances all aligned to buy that house when it next comes available. Besides, you think to yourself, I'll wait 5 years, and since the house will be older, I'll pay less for it. Much to your horror, when your finances are finally ready to purchase this older dream house for $250,000, you find it on the market priced at $400,000. Why, those current owners must be evil capitalists trying to gouge me again for an older house. But wait, before you take your pitchfork to the front door of that house, demanding it be sold to you for a fair $250,000, take a step back and understand it is the forces of inflation at play, again, robbing you of your dream house. In risk losing you with too much information, I want to add another dimension to inflation here for you to think about. The same Investopedia definition goes on to say, and I'm quoting here, it is the constant rise in the general level of prices where a unit of currency buys less than it did in prior years. Okay, well, maybe that's a little bit less sleep-inducing, but it's not the most riveting definition. And I can already hear you rolling your eyes and yawning, trying not to fall asleep. Friends, I don't blame you, but this is important if your future financial independence is of any meaning to you. So back to a good old example to shed light on this murky definition. For your birthday, your grandma gave you a card with a nice, crisp $100 bill inside. It's so crisp, in fact, that you run a counterfeit test on it just to make sure that it's real. Okay, now you trust your grandma and you confirm that it's authentic. You go on to think, yes, you could save and invest it. Ugh, but gosh darn it, it's your birthday. So you decide to splurge on something. You know she'd be happier than peach pie if you bought clothes with it, so that's what you decide to do. Besides, you need to update your wardrobe. You decide you need to add some t-shirts to your clothing rotation. And going to the mall, you figure out that you can buy 5 t-shirts with that $100 bill. Suddenly your cell phone rings and a non-life-threatening emergency pulls you away from your shopping experience. You rush home and you stuff that $100 bill into your desk and completely forget about it. Now, for whatever reason, a year goes by and presto, you found that $100 bill and realized you meant to buy some t-shirts with it. Where has your head gone? So, you get right to it. You clear your schedule for the day and rush on over to the mall. You just can't wait to get your hands on your 5 t-shirts until you quickly determine that your $100 bill now only has the power to purchase 3 t-shirts. What the heck is happening, you wonder? Seething in anger against those capitalist robber barons taking advantage of you, you begrudgingly pay for the 3 t-shirts and leave the store before you do something you might regret. Or worse, before that $100 bill only buys you 1 t-shirt. How dare the owners profit off of you like that? Now at this point, I'll just swing back to the original question on inflation that I posted on Twitter without going into boatloads of more details about it. Of course, there is so much more to talk about it, but I do not want to overindulge my welcome within your learning faculties. Needless to say, I hope these examples give you enough of an understanding to know that by choosing option 1 in the poll, you'd be okay with the price of milk or houses or t-shirts or whatever it is doing what they did in my examples. Picking option 2 says you'd prefer the price to be the same every day you walk into the store, or every day that you go and try and buy that house. While option 3 says you'd prefer the price to do the opposite of what it did in my examples. While most would say that option 3 is the most desirable, who wouldn't want prices to be dropping all the time? It too can have its negative consequences, but that's just way too much information here. So before I inflate your brain with too much awesome information, I think it's time to close out another 20 minutes well spent. If you find yourself nodding your head in agreement about the awesomeness of this podcast, you'll be thrilled to know that you too can do something to spread the cheer to others. Why? How, you ask, in absolute complete amazement about this prospect? Why, my friends, very easy. Firstly, be sure you're one of the first to partake in the weekly greatness by subscribing to the podcast. Why, it's only at www.ageunsquare.com. What, you say? Already done that? Well, that's just great. Awesome. I love to hear that. So the next step for you, post a rating and review. And you know what? Two big toes up would be absolutely splendid. Well, what did you say? That's a check and a check for the first two? Okay, well, then there's the last step, which I think is the easiest. Share this podcast with just 3 members of your inner circle of family and friends. I just can't make my request any easier than that. But you know what? If you're sad that another episode is drawing to a close, don't forget there's that virtual water cooler on Twitter under the handle @theoriginalage as a delightful way to quench your sorrow. And of course, you also likely have a thirst for coffee or tea. Well, my friends, I am a magician here because I too can quench that thirst for you. I can even do one better than that. I can offer a great conversation about your financial independence and your future over that coffee or tea. I mean, really, how great is that, right? All you need to do is reach out to me. Send me an email. That's adrian@agecorp.co or DM me on Twitter or on Facebook, and I'll be absolutely happy to oblige. After such a date with financial destiny, and if the stars align, welcome you into our extended financial family would truly be icing on that cake. Alas, the music is playing in the background, trying to kick me off ever so politely, but growing forcefully. So until next time, друзья мои, stay safe, keep your integrity, and see you at the pinnacle.